Bible with me in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, that's in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Are you all there? Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 5 to 11. Are you all there? Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11. And it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. So he's talking about your attitude. It's the same as that of Jesus Christ. Who being in a very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, but being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Verse 11, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. And Lord, thank you that you did not bring us here this morning in accident, but you have a purpose in each one of our lives, and that's the reason why, Lord, you put us here this morning. And Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us. That's our heart, our innermost, Lord, that may be quickened, Lord, and recognize you as their Lord and Savior of their life. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you heard, did I share to you a story of Jeremy? Jeremy is a hub-like kind of a, has a, like a developmentally challenged behavior. And the parents try their best to put Jeremy in a mainstream school, in a Christian school, not in a home or special ed, but it's in a natural setting. And going to Resurrection Sunday, the teacher give every children a plastic egg. Have you seen this plastic egg? And he gave every children in his class a plastic egg and said that, I want you to come back tomorrow and bring something that you will put inside the plastic egg that will cast it to life. So everybody is saying, okay, Miss Miller, I will bring something. But Miss Miller was looking on Jeremy. But Jeremy just keep on staring at Miss Miller. So Miss Miller think, you know what, I don't know if Jeremy understands what I'm telling them. Maybe I'll call the parents to let them know that they need to help Jeremy. And so everybody went home, and the teacher, because of her busyness, supposed to call the parents, forgot to call the parents. So the following day, all kids are excited. They bring their plastic eggs, and everybody put the plastic egg in a wicker, in a basket, in front of Miss Miller's table. And so Miss Miller, after math class is over, she said that you know what, we're going to the egg that I gave it to you yesterday. So he picked up one egg. She picked up one egg and said, and she opened it. And there's a flower Miss Miller said, "Oh, that's good." And flower is a sign of new life. So she put it aside and she picked up another egg. She opened it and there's a butterfly. Even though it's a plastic. But you see, this is a sign. It's a sign of new life. Because butterfly comes from cocoon and then it makes a butterfly. And at the back, said, "Oh, Miss Miller, that's mine," said the other girl. And so she picked it up and then she picked up the other one. And Jeremy said, "Oh, my dad helped us." And when she opened it, there's nothing. So she put it aside. And Jeremy said, "Miss Miller, why didn't you discuss my egg?" And Miss Miller's kinda she doesn't want to hurt Jeremy's feeling. So she said that, "You know what, there's nothing in there." But Jeremy said, "But the tomb of Jesus is empty. There's nothing in there." So I will let you know how does it affect your life. And sometimes when you become the attitude, or if you are developmentally a challenge, you think that the people could not understand you. But you know, I learned that people that are mentally or developmentally challenged, you know, sometimes they have a higher degree of understanding. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is, I didn't give it to you? Oh, sorry. I prepared this PowerPoint, but there's there. They said that visual give you about, 65% of understanding, whereas audio is only 35%. So I try my best to put it in audio and in video. Okay, so that's why I have that. But because of the busyness that we have, sometimes we sidetrack, and especially when you have when you are a grandfather or a lolo. You know, this little tiny baby, which is 3 weeks old, is gonna sidetrack you. How many of you are grandparents here? Just a few, huh? Like mama? It's sometimes the grandchildren sidetrack you. And especially when your grandson is the only handsome grandson in the world. Those who are not grandparents, you say, "No, I cannot testify that." But those who are grandparents, they say that their grandson or granddaughter is the most handsome or the most beautiful grandchildren. Amen. Brother Wayne?
My grandmother said the same thing about me.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I thought in 1950 or 1930, doesn't exist, the narcissist doesn't exist anymore, but but they changed the word to selfie. Are you ready, Brother Irvin?
Yeah.
Okay, the title of my message this morning is Empty Celebration. Empty Celebration. And the greatest symbol of new life is found in the empty tomb. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 5, it says, "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead.'" And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 11,
The writer of Romans says, but if the spirit of him, who is that? The spirit of Jesus, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. How many believe you this morning that the spirit lives in you, dwells in you? If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He dwells in you. Wherever you go, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is not here, right? Jesus Christ is where? In heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But the Father said, you know what? I will send the Holy Spirit that will comfort you, that will teach you, that will instruct you, that will lead you. So the Spirit of Jesus Christ is here, is inside of us, in each one of us who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior of their life. You know, one thing that's wonderful is imagination. How many believe in imagination? Imagination. Have you heard that song by you're too young. Those are for the 50s. When the Beatles sing that song, imagine that there is no heaven. You heard that? So imagination is good. But the good thing is that you don't have to imagine the resurrection. Because resurrection is true. Resurrection happens. You don't have to sing that imagination that there is no heaven. There is heaven. Amen? How many of you here this morning believe that there is heaven? And there is hell too. Amen? So imagination is good. But you don't need a rabbit. You don't need a bunny or some eggs to excite that imagination. Because resurrection is true. So I'll give you the three empty promises that we can celebrate this resurrection. Are you ready? If you're taking a note, this is good. It's good to take a note, and maybe you can throw that in your car when you're driving. But then when you park your car, you can pull it out, and maybe it can remind you. For what we have talked about this morning. Amen. The first thing that the empty promises that we can celebrate this resurrection is that we have empty life. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, ESV says, but emptied himself. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So he take himself. He empty himself. He is God. He created the heaven and the earth. And he emptied himself. He came down here in our level. Because we cannot go up in this level. So he is the one who came down into this earth. So that we may empty ourselves. So that we may fill ourselves with his presence. What does it mean when it says it is finished? It is finished. So that means that everything that needed to be done was done. Right? When he went to the cross and he says it is finished, that means that everything that he has to do, he accomplished it. It's done. And that Jesus has literally, he emptied himself of everything that he had to offer for you and me. Amen? That we may have life, and that life is what? Abundantly. Abundantly. Remember, he did not promise that you're going to that there will be no storms. Amen? But he said that you're going to have abundant life. He poured out it all that he might be found within us. When you watch his life, You know that his life was consumed of humanity, of our human being. You know that his life was consumed of you and me. And that he emptied himself of all other cares. He could just send the Holy Spirit and everything will be okay. But he didn't. He emptied himself, his deity. He emptied that and then he left his high and lofty place just to come down and scoop you and me from the mud so that he can clean us up and put us in his city, in his church, so that he can nurture you and that so that you might have the mind of Christ inside of you. So that I don't have the mind of Ed anymore. Because I have consumed by the mind of Christ. See, the bottom line, the reason why he came here, so that we may have a mind of Christ. Amen? Because the mind of Christ, he consumed, he emptied himself. Paul see it in his perspective that only God, only Jesus Christ can do that. Because his life, he emptied himself. Amen? So if you are not experiencing God's presence in your life, it may be that you are not empty. If you're not empty enough. Amen? About 2 months ago, I went to my mom's house in Ontario, and ourselves. It's full or empty. Amen? So we serve a Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. Amen? In when he created the heavens and earth, when he created the universe, he created the universe with an expanse, with a place of emptiness. There's nothing in there. Remember when he created the earth? He created that there's nothing in there. He brought the stars and the moon. He put it in their place with nothing. Amen? He turned nothing into something. Then he hung it on nothing. Everything is nothing. Everything is empty. Amen? That's the God that we serve. That's the God who died for you and me. That's the God that he emptied himself so that you and I will have an abundant living. Amen? In John chapter 6, remember, John chapter 6, he fed the 5,000. Those 5,000 are what? They are empty. They are hungry. Amen? Remember when he fed the 5,000 and the disciple offered a plan to Jesus Christ, and they said that, let's get rid of these people and they can go home to their homes. But Jesus Christ said, no, you know what? You should not do that because they're hungry, they are empty. Because you send them home, they're going to faint. Right? And then another offer, Philip said, you know what? We're going to raise this money, but the money that we're going to raise probably is what? A month of salary. You cannot still pay them all. Right? And then there's another boy. He offered this 5,000, the 3 fish and the 2 loaves of bread. And God says, you know what? That's not enough. And God says, you know what? Bring this fish and the bread, and it will be more than enough. So in all 4 Gospels, Jesus gave thanks prior to even breaking the bread, showing the multitudes that only God can fill their emptiness. Amen? We serve the Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. In John chapter 2, filled some empty a water pot. Remember the first miracle that he did? The miracle of the women in Canaan? And then he emptied when the jars were empty. And that's when they start in trouble. Because in the Jewish community, when they run out of wine, and you don't have anything for you to give to their guests, that's a bad reputation. The owner of the party is going. But yet Jesus Christ came into the nick of time and offered that water. You see that empty those jars that are empty, filling up with water. Right? You remember that story?
So God is specialized in filling the emptiness of each one of our life. Amen? But the joy of the Lord is ever new and ever satisfying. The world offers you the best first until you get hooked, and then it will downhill from there. I don't know if you realize that. That if you get into the world system, the first thing is that you'll be okay, but you know what? At the end, it's worth nothing. Amen.
In Proverbs chapter 14 says, even a laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So even though you're gonna enjoy the world. But then, you know what? At the end, there is that heaviness. There's the grief that you're going to encounter. Amen? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17 says, The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Can you imagine that? You know, you think you have the bread. You think you have enough. You have enough. You have 7... story building of field of grain and things, but you know what? After all, it's gonna be full of gravel. But Jesus gave us a miraculous joy that never ends. He gave us his the best from the start, and somehow miraculously make the joy grow out even better. Amen? And that's why God is saying, you know, come and taste me. Remember that God is telling the people, come and taste me, and you will fulfill that you will, that joy will last forever. Amen? Because being with God is far more better. The goodness of God is far more better than the world can offer. Amen? Truly, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It's no longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. See, the more we get closer to him, the more that we are communicating with him, the more that you can, the joy is getting better and it's getting sweeter. Amen? With Jesus Christ. I can stand testify you this morning. Taste how good he is. Amen? So, we serve the Lord that are specializing in feeling emptiness. And if you're running empty, if you're not experiencing intimacy with Christ on a daily basis, it may be that though you feel empty, you are not empty enough to make room for Jesus and taking some irons out of the fire and making him the priority of your life. Amen? How many of you are experiencing God's presence in your life this morning? Amen? If you don't, what I'm saying that maybe there is some particles, there is some things in there that you have not given to Jesus Christ yet. And I hope and pray that before we go home, that you will turn it over and fully surrender so that you're, because God could not fill you with his presence as long as you're holding something in your life. Because the goodness of God against the darkness of the enemy cannot coincide, cannot fellowship together. God wants you to be empty so that he will be able to fill you up. Are you with me this morning? Amen? So, we need to be emptied of our sin. And number two is to be need to be emptied of ourselves. And the Bible says that we are full of ourselves. As long as we have that self is the king of my heart, God could not fill me up. Amen? And God could not accept substitute. Amen? So we need to be emptied of our sin and we need to be emptied of ourselves and we need to be emptied of substitute. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, if I can take this drug, just one hit, or this marijuana, I'll be okay. But when you wake up, you're going to have a hangover. So, it's better to have, to empty yourself. Empty everything that you have. Empty that substitute. Amen? Number two of the promises that we can celebrate this resurrection is an empty cross. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, according to J.B. Phillips, it says, for he who had always been God by nature did not cling to his prerogatives as God's equal, but stripped himself of all the privilege by consenting to be the slave by nature and being born as mortal man. See, the cross was empty, even though he is God himself, the deity and the humanity of Christ. He emptied himself. He did not get all those privileges that he has. He gave it up. He surrendered it. He did not enjoy that so that he can experience what we can experience. Amen? So he emptied himself. He emptied the cross. You know what? I never appreciate this cross.
that has Jesus Christ hanging on it. Because Jesus Christ raised from the dead. There should be no more cross. There is no more Jesus Christ. Because he was raised from the dead. Amen?
But the empty cross is that's where the cruel place of death. Jesus was beaten, it was broken, it was bruised, he was insulted and went to the cross. He took it all of himself that we may not have to do that. Amen. And the empty cross tells me that I can be free from the past and have a great life and through Jesus Christ. That's remind you and me that when we see the cross, that means that there's forgiveness of sin in our life. Amen? That you can enjoy forgiveness of your sin. Amen? And then lastly, the empty tomb. See, the empty tomb, there is no Savior. There is no hope if there is no empty tomb. Amen? And this morning we shall be trembling beneath the burden dread of her, of the Master, cold and dead when he went to the cross. And because he was buried on the third day, he rose from the dead, and that tomb is empty because he is not there anymore. Amen. And that when the sun rises and the mountains pouring light from heaven's fountain, then the earth blooms out of greed once again, and blessed is the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that walk into this earth. And his countless voices, Christ has risen on Resurrection Day. In fact, the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise of everyone who asks that we too will be raised from eternal life. Amen? That you and I will be raised from eternal to eternal life. Amen? To those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior of their life, death has lost its sting. It is no longer something to be feared. What fear is, there's when we have the promises that one day we will live forever with him in heaven. Amen? That one day, when that day comes, we will live with him in heaven. Amen? That fear is not there anymore. Amen? The world give us promises full of emptiness, but God give us the emptiness full of promises. Amen. That's one thing that we can celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. It's because the tomb is empty. Amen. Shall we stand? Oh, hallelujah. Can we ask the worship team to come back? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning. Father, we pray for every words that comes out from this pulpit, Lord. Father, we pray that if it's not from you, Lord God, Lord, we pray that you will take it out, Lord, and retain those, Lord, in our heart, those that's from you, Father, so that Jesus Christ will be exalted, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the same Spirit that lives within us. That if we suffer with you, Lord, that we are partakers of the suffering of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for bringing us that you're able to speak to us, Lord. And if there's anything, Lord, that we are holding, Father, in our life, and Lord, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to convict us, Lord, so that we can fully turn over our life to you, because you came to fulfill the emptiness of each one of our heart. And this morning we thank you, God. Thank you for that offer that you have given to us. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning, anybody, Father God, that are holding something in our life, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us, Lord. That we may be fully turned over, Lord, everything that we holding it, Father God, because you want to fill us, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have spoken to us, Lord. And to my brothers and sisters this morning, God has brought us here, so that we can hear what you're speaking to us, Lord, in this Resurrection Sunday, Lord. And if there's anything, Lord, that you want to turn it over to the Lord this morning, I want to pray with you that you may be fully experience the presence of God in your life, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ into your life. If there's anybody here this morning, I want you to just bow your head and as I look to you, I want you to look to me, look to my eyes, and I will agree with you and I will pray with you this morning. If there's anybody, because God wants to fill your heart with His Spirit. Hallelujah. If there's anybody. Anybody. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for filling their hearts, Lord. Filling them with your Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray this morning, from this day forward, that they may walk without guilt of their sin, that they may enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord, abundantly. That you will restore them, Lord, into the fellowship of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, this morning, that they recognize the emptiness of their heart without you. And Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Father. We pray that you will bless us, every one of us this morning, as we go our ways or as we enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters, Lord, this morning. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for your blessing to our fellowship and the food that you have provided for us. And Lord, we thank you. And as we bring our tithes and offering to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.